B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate
it. Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Can I ask you one more while I have you?
Sure.
And it's on Rask. And that is, how are you and him treating this? Is it a quote-unquote experiment? In other words, if in a couple of weeks it's not working out for whatever reason, are you all prepared to pull the cord, or is the plan, the thought, no, he's with us for the rest of the year, sink or swim?
Yeah, I think we're going to see it through. I mean, he could have a change of heart in that regard. We won't control that, right? So, but we went into this with, he's put the time into rehab, and we'll give him a X amount of starts to sort of find his game. That's a little tougher, obviously, in season, but we were willing to do that because of his resume. And we're not there to the number of starts where we're going to say, okay, listen, this is, we got to rethink it. He's going to get three or four more minimum. And then let's see where we're at. Who gives us the best chance to win every night as we go down the stretch. And then sorting it out for April and May. And I think Swayman's still involved in that too, Mike. He's playing well down in Providence. But we don't want to carry three goalies here. So he gets his starts there. The other two get it here. And as we go along, we'll make the best decision. But it's too soon to make any hard decision right now.
Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, final hour, Felger and Mazz on an agenda-free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Catch him at BernardiAutoGroup.com. That was me on earlier, the Bruce Cassidy press conference this morning, where I asked him about this morning. I did it was during a commercial break at 2:15. I asked him also about the David Pastrnak thing, playing on that 6-on-5. I won't play that here. If you want to hear that answer, he maybe gave some insight into that as well. Go back on the podcast, 98.5thesportshub.com or the app, where he answers that question, why he plays Pastrnak on the 6-on-5. But the Rask thing there, I think he said two things. We're going to see it through. But then he said, you know, we'll give him another 3-4 games minimum and then see where we're at. So he kind of said both things, but you think that second thing is closer to the bone?
Yeah, I do. Look, I think what he's saying is, well, we're going to give him the time that we think he needs to get back to a certain level. But if it starts to take long and we got to make a decision who the best guy is to put in net, we're going to do that. And if that's Ullmark, that's Ullmark. So I read it as, we're not going to cut him, but if the other guy's playing better, we're going to play the other guy.
So that's, I mean, you asked me where I stand. It's like, I've, you know, accepted the experiment. I've accepted that they're taking a shot here with Rask, which I'm, you know, fine with, I guess. Fine. I don't love it, but fine. But it's just that. It's a shot. It's an experiment. It's a shot. If it's not working and they just circle the drain again with this guy, like that would be criminal.
And it should piss you off. Because, look, it'll be repeating last year all over again. And, look, let's see if he lives up to that statement. Because he said there, you know, we'll see who gives us the best chance
right.
to win.
If Rask gives him the best chance to win, and it's obvious to all of us.
No problem.
Fine.
Well, isn't it kind of telling that Rask isn't starting tonight against, like, the worst team
okay,
in the NHL?
Now, that's weird. Why do you think he's not?
They don't trust him enough, even against a wretched Arizona team, and that would set such a bad precedent for him going forward if they were to lose this game.
Because they want the points.
Yeah.
You think that's what that is?
Yeah, well, I've been reporting that it was Rask and Ned all day just on the assumption of, like, of course he's going to start. They're not going to go back-to-back with Ullmark, even though Ullmark was good in this last game. You're playing the worst team in the NHL in Arizona. This is a layup. Get his confidence back. They don't even trust him to get his confidence back tonight. That's why he's not in.
Mike, the last two losses, right, and the one before to Carolina.
Ducks in Carolina.
Okay, forget the Carolina game. Okay, they were complete stink bomb in that game all the way around.
Yeah, yeah.
But the next Ducks one, game? Anaheim, you could argue the goaltending cost him the game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, no, and I say not even argue. He sucked. If he's half decent, they at least get a point out of that.
But they're not really, like, they're comfortably in the playoffs. They're the eighth seed, but they're comfortably in it. Like, the ninth place team is 13 points behind or something.
Okay, but at the same time, would you agree that they've rebuilt some confidence lately?
Yeah,
in other words,
definitely, yes.
Right? They got a little mojo going. They got a little juice going.
Yes.
Then Rask goes out there and cuts their nuts off because he sucked in that Anaheim game. He was brutal in that game. And so, like, you know, the last thing you want is for this team to start going backwards again. I think they're telling you something. I'm with Murray.
Well, I wish I would have known when I asked. He was very civil until maybe the very end. Jimmy's played it a couple times because he likes it. Maybe he sensed it. We're at the very end, but Cassie's, all right, now get off the effing phone, Phil.
Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine. Now get off. Enough. I've answered your questions. Bye.
Can I ask you one more while I have you?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead. I might not answer it, but go ahead.
No, but after that one, after the second one, all right, get off.
Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, bye. Guy, see you.
All right, anyway. Can I ask you one more while I have you?
If you want the if you want the Pastrnak explanation, it's, again, podcast. Back to your phones, final
At
hour.
At least it wasn't this, Mike.
Is it possible to have a collapsed lung for a short period of time and then have it not collapse?
I am improving. Okay, Corey in the car. What do you got for us, Corey?
Hey, guys. First time, long time. While I was waiting for an hour, I kind of thought of a better question. I think it's pretty obvious at this point that Brady was talking about Tannehill and Vrabel when he said, you're holding on to this MF-er. What are the odds that Vrabel Rams. Cuts ties with Tannehill and goes for Brady?
I think they should.
Tough one to get out of, though.
I think there's some contract-wise.
Yeah, they gave him a boatload of money.
Right.
All the national reporters. But the example is the Goff.
Exactly.
You know, the Rams were able to get out of that Goff contract because everyone that writes about this, oh, it's untenable. They can't do it. They have to pay Tannehill like $40 million. It'll hit cap hit, blah, blah, blah.
How many times do you hear that and then the guy gets dealt?
No, but that's what it would take.
Yes.
You're going to have to give up a pick or something to do it.
You send Tannehill and a first to a team that is in a rebuild and they just have to pay Tannehill money to get what Detroit did.
Yeah.
You know, so there's always a way. I think the Niners thing is a more likely thing. If Brady's really leveraging and angling to play, but play for a different team, and Gasper mentioned it before too, and I just base it on last year. You know, there were multiple reports that the Niners were his first choice. That's where he wanted to go. Jimmy, can you add to
that? That's where he was planning to go until something happened. As I said, in real time, his travel plan was from to New York, to Costa Rica, to San Francisco. That weekend, he was supposed to sign with the 49ers. They got cold feet, and he ended up in Tampa.
And Chris Sims is co-signed on that. Chris Sims said Brady wanted to go to the Niners. Like, the Niners was a place he wanted to go. Why would that have changed in 12 months? You know, there's obviously some sort of tug there about him being back home and, you know, writing that storyline. Maybe it's important to him. I don't know. Whatever the case may be, like, that to me makes sense.
Oh, sure it does. Absolutely it does.
And he gets to F over Jimmy Garoppolo one last time.
Unbelievable.
Here's CJ in Marble. Go ahead, CJ.
Yeah, you guys keep breaking my heart talking about trading Marcus Smart or not re-signing Patrice Bergeron. You guys are crazy, literally. I mean, like, I'm a true hockey guy. I practically walked all over the Providence Bruins and have a mystery Alaska team in my back pocket. And if you guys are dumb enough to not re-sign Bergeron and hang on to him like you hung on to Brady all those years in his prime right now, then you might even be dumb enough to sign me for $2.2 million.
CJ,
which you should. That's actually, you know, that's a good idea.
CJ, I don't think it's the Bruins want. I think Bergeron might retire.
Exactly.
And I just don't rule this out. It would I don't rule it out, but it would surprise me. I think his agent just was named GM of the Canadiens.
That's correct.
Right, so he's got like a real tie. He's from there. He grew up a Canadiens fan, and his agent just took over the team.
Oh boy!
So I've long wondered if he's angled to go there or
I'm coming home.
You know, something like that. And if, you know, Montreal says, you know, we want you to finish here, storybook ending for you and us. Here's 2 years, $15 million. Some kind of stupid contract. Because it makes more sense for them and you and whatever. Like, I just don't rule that out. Kind of, but, you know, in the same breath I say that, boy, that's quite a thing to go from captain of the Boston Bruins to, no, I want to go play for Montreal.
I don't think he'd do it.
Like, I don't think he'd do it either. Like, that's too much of a, that's just, that cuts a little too deep.
I mean, talk about, like, the greatest heel turn in history.
Seriously.
Like, the guy that everybody thinks is the model athlete, the total pro.
I mean, the consummate Bruin.
Absolutely. The consummate Bostonian, for crying out loud.
Like, truly, one of the premier elite true Boston athletes says, you know what? I'm going to go play for Montreal.
Right. Whom we all revere. And like holding the most dignified guy to ever wear a uniform. I'm exaggerating.
Yeah, no. But he's up there.
I go play for Montreal.
That feels to me unrealistic. But there are some other, you know, if you wanted to play the game, he hasn't committed for next year. He's from there, and his agent was just named GM. So it's like some things do line up for a Canadiens move. But be that if Bergeron wants to keep playing, they're going to sign him. I mean, make no mistake, that's not a Bruins problem. That's his issue. Back with more right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Max.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Max on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
For Mark Davis, what does he want? To Mark Davis, I think this has a little bit of his dad kind of tweaking the rest of the league and say, oh, you don't want to interview Josh McDaniels because he left the Colts at the altar? You don't want to interview Josh McDaniels because he imploded in Denver? I'll show you. I'm going to take Bill Belichick Jr., and I'm going to take his personnel guy, and I'm going to come here, and I'm going to make Patriots West. Now, you know, again, that is a gross exaggeration, and I get it. But I think that Mark Davis wants to take some of the brain power and the offensive mind that Josh McDaniels is away from New England. And that is going to be how he's going to build his team for the next 4 or 5 years.
And more Peter King on the Josh McDaniels stuff, which by the time we show up on Monday could be a done deal. Poor schmuck has to change planes in Phoenix. Good God. Figure it out, man.
So I will say that with him,
people who don't know how to travel sort of bother me. It's like,
oh, I'm with you on that.
Figure it out.
With him, you never know until the deal is done.
No, it's true.
So it feels to me like it's over, but he could absolutely spin out of that in a second.
Either way, if he's gone, it makes sense. It is a Raiders thing. If Josh has been shunned and blackballed by the league for doing what he did to the Colts, it's just like the Raiders to say, no, this is the guy we want.
You belong here.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You know, that makes sense, I guess. To me, the interesting part of that, the most interesting part to me is who's the next Patriots coach, because Josh was the leader in the clubhouse. He was the odds-on favorite. And now I think it's almost impossible for him still to be the Patriots coach if he takes this job. If he's good there, he's going to stay. And if he sucks, you won't want him back. So that's it. He's not going to be the next head coach. Who's going to be the next head coach?
Matt Patricia.
Oh, God, please, no.
I think Kraft's like him.
Oh, great. God, that would scare the hell out of me.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Give me a cream.
It's got to be Matt Patricia.
I think Kraft's like him.
Great.
So I'd go Bill O'Brien on that. Remember in the Wickersham book, Bill O'Brien said he was trying to get himself fired because he thought he had a shot to go up to New England. Sometime in the recent past where Bill may have been flirting with other teams or his contract was up or whatever. So I think Bill O'Brien has now become the leader in the clubhouse to be the next Patriots coach.
I mean, he's definitely near the top of the list if he's not at it.
Or Mayo, you know.
Oh, right, okay.
Or Mayo. To me, it's Bill O'Brien or Gerard Mayo is your next head coach. It was Josh.
Anyone but Matt Patricia or his kids.
I'll tell you what, I think I'd lean Mayo there.
Yeah, why?
Something about Mayo I like. Mayo, like, there is a quality about him when I look at him that, like, he just feels like a leader.
You would need a really strong offensive coordinator.
Yes.
Because Mayo is inexperienced on defense coaching. Never mind, probably hasn't done a lick of offense.
Okay, so do it the other way. What if O'Brien becomes a head coach? Don't you need a good defensive coach?
Yes, but at least he's been a head coach, so he's got probably some.
So that's true.
Some experience there.
Something about Mayo that, I don't know, I kind of know what Bill O'Brien is at this stage.
And ownership
likes him. And that onside kick in Kansas City was the end of him for me.
Ownership likes him a lot anyway, right?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Yes, Jimmy.
What if the next Patriots head coach is coaching for another team?
Okay, what are you driving
Mike Vrabel.
Oh.
I think that's just complicated because if Vrabel continues to win there, they're not going to let him out. And, you know, from what I understand, he's about to sign a whopper of a contract.
That didn't end well here either, did it?
No, it didn't. But, well, either way, like, that to me is sort of a big thing. If Josh leaves, it changes the whole future of the team post-Belichick.
Give you a bill and a first for Vrabel and A.J. Brown. Who says no?
Listen, all you people who have been dying to give us your overtime ideas, we've decided to give you a segment at the end of the show. So the last segment will just be your Furkacta overtime ideas, which means we have to clear the board now.
Great.
So this is going to be a lightning round.
Oh, brother.
Okay, so lightning round to get to our final segment. Jose and Malden, you start. Go.
Sure.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Celtics. So regarding Marcus Smart and his value, every GM does that. What do you guys think about Bradley Beal coming to Boston?
So, Maz, you like Bradley Beal as a third piece?
Yep, I do. And again, see, I think there is a what's the word I'm looking for? An intangible with Beal as it relates to Tatum, that there's a mutual respect there. So particularly with regard to Tatum, I think Tatum holds Beal in high regard. And so that's important. I think you need someone there that can get through to Tatum and that Tatum will respect. To me, that's a critical part of that equation.
Here's Ben in Groveland. Hi, Ben.
Matt, did I hear you say you won't give an opinion on Bengals game because you don't know how the defense is? Like, the game's in 2 days, man. Like, give a take, because I want to fade your pick, whatever it is. Either way, my main point, I want to chime in on Felger and Bedard going back and forth.
So is 2 days a lot of time or a little?
This is the lightning round, Matt.
Oh, sorry.
A little time. Am I good?
Yeah, go ahead, Ben. Go.
All right, Felger. Chime in between you and Bedard about needing the guy. You brought up a great point about, like, the percentages of the outlier making it. And I thought even a little deeper, like, what's the percentage of you actually being that lucky to be that small percentage of the outliers? Like, it compounds. So I like Mac, but you need more if you want to be consistent championship team.
Damn straight. Like, you can slip in as that, you know, there's always an outlier team. San Fran might be it now with the mediocre quarterback. And next year, there may be another outlier that slips in there, but it won't be the same outlier. It's always a different outlier. It's always a different kind of team that slips in there with that mediocre quarterback. So again, what are the odds that you're that team?
Low.
And even if you are that team, you usually only get to do it once and then you don't come back. Where the quarterbacks are there every single year. Tyler in South Boston. Hi, Tyler.
Hey guys, I don't want Bill O'Brien. I don't want anyone who's ever coached in Foxborough to take over as the next OC or head coach. Just because you went to Alabama, which is the coach's rehab, doesn't mean you come out better. Peep Steve Sarkisian at Texas going 5-7.
Okay, Tyler, I think I'm going to stop because it's a lightning round. I think people here agree with you. I think we're just being realistic, knowing what Bill's going to do. He's not going to go outside of his family, meaning his coaching family or his system, to hire an offensive coordinator. He's not going to go hire like a West Coast offense guy to come in here and change the whole system. That ain't going to happen, so it's not worth our time to talk about.
Well, this might be one of the few times where I actually want Bill to stay with what he usually does. Because, again, I think it's important to the quarterback.
Well, I don't want to mess up Mac Jones.
Exactly.
And the offense, if run by the right guy, is just fine. I don't need them to change the offense. Stephen Foxborough with, I think, a horrible idea. Go ahead, Steve.
No, so it's not my idea. So I'll be I think it is going to be Adam Gase, and here's why. Adam Gase started his career with Nick Saban. Adam Gase was hired by Josh McDaniels in Denver. Belichick offered him a job in 2018 when he first got fired, and here's the big one. They hired an offensive consultant named Bo Hardegree this offseason.
Yep.
He is the protege of Adam Gase.
Wow.
The signs are coming, and I want to see Murray's head explode when they hire this guy.
Steve, thanks for the call. Good intel.
Yeah, I mean, what other a-hole can you bring into the mix, too? Why not bring in Freddie Kitchens as a tight ends coach?
I didn't know Gase was a part of the Belichick tree, if you will.
I do recall there being some interest when he got fired. Remember that?
Hey, Vey.
Adam Gase is OC and Joe Judge is special teams.
Oh, my God. And Matt Patricia's the DC.
Just, you want to go? I mean, we'll go with anything, right?
Go ahead.
So this is from a blue check mark. His name is GT Bobby Thompson.
Okay, so he's already a higher standard than what we usually go with.
Exactly,
NFL
yeah.
journalist covering the Bucks and the Patriots. Although someone here in the comments says this guy is the brown check marks of blue check marks. but he said 55 minutes ago, don't be surprised if Brian Flores goes back to the Patriots if not hired for a head coaching position. And that'd be good for
them. That'd be great.
Oh, I would love that.
Be a great upgrade on that side of the ball. What, are you kidding me?
At least some of these guys have experience.
Danny in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, guys. I'm a little shocked to hear Chris Gasper handicap Tom Brady and go with retirement as option one. I feel like I'm back in the beginning of 2020, where I think there's no way he's retiring. His profile's never been bigger. He's still trying to build his brand. He's never been more popular across the league, and I think across the country. I really can't see him walking away. I think it's totally obvious he wants out of Tampa Bay, and he's just trying to find the right location to give him another shot to win his 8th Super Bowl.
Okay, Danny, Leslie in Cambridge, how do you feel about that?
I don't agree. Here's why, gentlemen. Tom Brady and Giselle bought a $42 million property recently in Miami on what's called Billionaire's Row. They also sold their mega mansion in California like 2 years ago to Dre or something. So they're not going to San Fran. They're not going to Tennessee. They're not going to Vegas because his wife loves the outdoors and the warmth and the blah, blah, blah. So I think, you know, you got to look at that.
Okay, Leslie, thank you.
Miami, that'd be awesome.
Stephen Middleborough, your thoughts on all that? Steve!
Hi, I'm Steve from Middleborough.
Hi, Steve.
My read on the whole thing is that Tom Brady is going to be the quarterback of the Raiders. I haven't heard it all day, and I've been listening all day. The whole thing makes sense to me. He's flying around out there. Josh is out there. I think that they're putting the band together again, and you're going to see him as the quarterback.
Okay, Steve, thanks for the call.
I bet Brady got the direct flight.
You think Brady is changing in Phoenix?
Can you guys hear me?
What kind of schlepper does that? All right, listen.
Here we go.
You folks. It is unbelievable how, like, already
they're all lined up, ready to go.
Like, that took no time. When I mentioned it...
Lining up outside the paradise.
I mentioned in the 3 o'clock hour that we'll just clear the board for one segment of your overtime calls. The email immediately got this dump of overtime emails. They should do this. They should do that. How about this? How about that? How about this? How about that? It's like all you want to talk about.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. All right, lightning round of overtime ideas coming your way right after Big Jim Murray gets you updated.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They love each other.
That's a lie. It's bullcrap.
And the audience loves them.
No, definitely grumpy. I don't care. Well, listen, guess what? You're in New England.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Up.
All right, so there's your penance. If I'm going to give you a segment of overtime calls, you got to give me a minute of the Grateful Dead. Go ahead. Okay, so here it is. It's all you've wanted to talk about all week, and we've held you at bay. All you want to do is call us and give us your overtime idea. It's all you want to do. And we've purposely not taken your call, not giving you any room. And so we've cleared out this final segment of the week for you.
Yeah, but my idea is the best.
Ready? It's a quasi-lightning round. This can't take more than 30 seconds or you're out.
Be fast.
Wes is calling us from home. What's your overtime idea?
Okay, true kicker situation, true sudden death. You get the kickers out there only. You start at the 30. If they both make it, you back up 10 yards. Once you get to the 50, you go 5 yards. And whoever gets the kick first, the quarterbacks have to throw the ball the furthest from the end zone.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, see, the whole thing is you have to be serious. Yeah. And I think that guy was.
He totally was. Yeah.
That guy was serious.
Totally.
If you're Johnny Joke Man and trying to, like, make it, No.
No, there was no bit there.
No, this is serious.
Yeah, Vic could be great in overtime.
We want your serious ideas. Dakota and Braintree, what's your idea?
My
idea will eventually be the winner. I can guarantee that, okay? Normal kickoff applies. You get to choose to receive or defend in overtime. No matter what the other team does with the ball, you have the opportunity to match it. Then the next kickoff happens. They go down. They get stopped. You get the ball back. You kick a field goal. You win the game. If the other team kicks a field goal, as long as you have that possession, you have the right to match it or win it. It's simple. There's no advantage.
Okay, everyone gets a second. The other team gets a shot, but it you only have to match.
So it's like football horse?
Yes, football horse. If you will.
I don't like it.
John in Rhode Island. Go, John.
Hi. I was thinking you could oh, can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Hold on, like,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was thinking don't take the you get rid of the coin toss. Just make an extension of the half. So like at the end of the game, whoever has the ball at the end gets in the next half.
Yeah, just keep going.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
In perpetuity.
Yeah, just, because then the clock at the end of the game doesn't become a factor. I don't like it.
Let's just eliminate the clock for the whole game.
Yeah.
Steve in Portland, go.
So just pretty much keep it simple. Almost stay with the way it is now. Give each team a possession. And if it's tied after that, then go to sudden death.
Okay, there it is. Match the possessions. That's really the simplest one. Give the other team, give Buffalo a chance to possess the ball. Hmm. John in Saugus, go please.
Yeah, instead of having a coin flip, the team who had the lead the longest in the game gets the ball automatically. So the game matters.
Okay, you got that one, Matt?
Yeah, you got to have the lead for the longest time, then you get the ball, you start.
More days in first place.
Yeah, okay. I don't like it.
I hate that one.
Justin and Woburn, go, Justin.
Yeah, mine's similar to Dakota's. You start it off like any football quarter. You play until somebody scores, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown. That team then kicks off. The other team has one drive to either tie to continue overtime or win the game by taking the lead. And then if you tie, you continue overtime.
I hate that.
Why?
So no matter what you – so what if nobody scores? You just keep going, right? And again, and so now you could have five possessions and not score. The other team kicks a field goal. You get a final possession. You score. You win the game. Stupid.
James and Dudley. Go ahead, James.
Yes, my idea is simple. Take half of a quarter, 7.5 minutes, and play it out. Whoever wins more points in overtime wins the game.
That's my idea. That's Bill Belichick's idea.
He said 7.5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, no, Bill actually at one point said 7.5 minutes.
Oh, really?
Did? Yeah, he did. Well, I think his comment was, and I played the sound, but I think it was on EEI, so he can't do it. But it was years ago. But it was... just no sudden death, play out a period, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 7.5, whatever we decide, and you just play it out as you would the end of the fourth quarter. It just duplicates the end of the fourth quarter, which is the best part of football anyway.
Okay, 7.5 is not enough because the first thing could run out the clock.
So that is true. So I would agree. I think 10 minutes, no sudden death, that's a sweet spot. That's the answer, and if you don't agree with me, you've got a dump in your pants. I will once again repeat that. Matt and Quincy, what are your thoughts?
Hey, guys. All right, I figure kind of the same way that college does it, but with a twist. Start from the 25-yard line, and you get four downs to get a touchdown, no first downs. If you don't get in the end zone, you kick a field goal. Both teams get a possession, and the second overtime that you kind of do, everyone has to go for two instead of the fourth or fifth overtime.
Okay. I hate the college idea in the pros.
Me too. Yeah. It's a skills competition.
Tell you, we could have done this every day, all day, 4 hours. Brendan in Marshfield. Go ahead, Brendan.
How you doing? So I was thinking the coin flip, it's – whoever wins the coin flip decides if they want to go first or second. Who's ever first, if they score a touchdown, the team that has the ball second has to go for two if they score the touchdown.
Okay, I heard that one a lot. How do you feel about that one?
Not fair.
I don't mind that one.
Okay, Jim in Norfolk, what are your ideas?
No ties in overtime. So if the first team kicks a field goal, the second team has to go for a touchdown.
How do we feel about that one?
Nope. Because again, you're still at a disadvantage if you go second. The whole point, the whole point is equity. You want equity, right? So because the second team, you know, if they win the coin toss, you get the ball, you win the game. There's no equity. So now the first team kicks a field goal, the second team can. How's that equal?
This is unbelievable. Sean in Salem, go.
Everything stays the same. If you score a touchdown on the first possession, the other team gets one play from the same spot on the field to match that touchdown.
No! They don't have to drive down the field. They just get the spot where... So the other team scored from the one. You give it to the other team at the one?
Correct.
No! Fred in Chicago. Go, Fred.
Yeah. Hi, Fred. Good afternoon, guys. You know what? I'm sick of changes. I think they should return to the way it was. If the first team wins the coin toss and they kick a field goal, they win. Play some freaking defense. And while you're at it, get rid of coaches' challenges and replay too.
Should they go back to just the old rules?
No, I do like this better, I have to say, because the field goal thing is a joke. Everybody got the field goal. So now, you know, I don't think everybody gets the touchdown all the time. It's happened that way of late, it feels like. But no, a field goal's too easy.
The tipping point was that Saints-Vikings NFC Championship game. And that was, I remember at that moment being like, oh, this sucks. Like, this game should have kept going. Like, you wanted to end on a touchdown.
Matt Methuen, hi.
Hey, what if we just have, like, two captains wrestle on the 50-yard line?
That's what I mean. You're not taking this exercise seriously, sir.
See, but I do think, like, what about if you get rid of the coin flip and you have a scrum like they do in rugby?
I don't think you're taking this seriously. Like the XFL, throw the ball out and two guys go chase after it? We're not. This is a serious exercise. If you're not serious with your idea, you're not allowed.
Withdrawn.
Shree and Melrose, go.
I liked it. This is so easy. Why doesn't a field goal kicker kick a field goal from 50 yards for 4 points?
Yeah, there it is again. Said Wiggy. Jeff in Fairhaven. Hi, Jeff.
This is the best way to do it. You win the coin flip. You get the ball. If you score a touchdown, game's over. If you score a field goal, the other team gets a chance.
That's the way it is now?
Yeah.
That's the exact way that's it. You know what?
Thank you, sir.
That's a creative concept.
Yeah, someone had that idea. Where have I seen that before? It's the NFL right now.
How come I didn't think of that?
Steven Brockton, go.
Hey, guys. Togo, I like your idea, but the only problem is you extend the games in extra minutes, the networks aren't going to like it because one game is going to overextend the next game.
Not true. Regular season, it's tied after 10 minutes. I don't change it. I don't do that in the regular season. Regular season, it's still a tie. Postseason, it keeps going. And the windows in the postseason are more, they give themselves 4 hours between the games.
They build in a cushion.
And you don't think the networks would like the rating they would get for a double overtime AFC championship game?
They would love it.
Freaking nuts.
They would love it. Again, the game did a 90 in Kansas City, a 90.
Brian and Swampscott, go.
Hey, guys, I think everyone's missing the point. I think each team needs to fire the cannons, furthest cannons.
And you're not taking this. If you're not going to take this seriously, people, we can't do this. Tim and Beverly, hi.
Hey, all right, guys. So do this. An extension from the beginning of the game, coin flip, two-minute drill, overtime. So you can choose go down. You can hit a field goal. No punts. Four downs for each team. Well, not four downs, but, you know, you go the length.
Yeah, okay, I'm just going to stop you. You have any idea what the hell he's talking about?
2 minutes. They set the clock at 2 minutes and you get to go.
It is unbelievable. We could have done that
every day.
When I joke about it, I'm not joking. Our call screen's always full anyway. Like, it's not unusual for us to have full line, but it's like all people want to do is talk about their overtime proposal.
Yeah, because it's my idea.
What's your idea, Miss?
A scrum.
No.
Well, seriously. They do it in rugby.
So nothing. You want it to stay at
I would leave it the way it is. Again, if you can't play defense and prevent a touchdown on the first possession over overtime, you blow.
As would I, but I liked the Mike from Woburn call that he had midweek where the first coin toss ultimately determines the rest of it. Like, there is no coin toss in overtime. Whoever won heads or tails at the beginning of the game, that also affects it later.
Mike.
So there's more strategy in the fourth quarter.
You know why they got rid of the old rule? Because teams would play basically prevent. They'd play bend, don't break, and teams could easily move the ball down the field and then kick a field goal because they didn't want to give up a big play and allow a touchdown, so they made a team drive down the field. So, you know, stop them! Stop them! How about come up with a stop?
Okay, if you didn't get in, sorry. There's always time for you. Some other agenda-free Friday. A epic final word. We've got a jam-packed final word with all sorts of good stuff, so you don't want to miss it. It's coming up right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. There's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
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 All right, a bunch to get to wrap up the week here in the final word. We'll start with this. We were discussing potential Celtics trades earlier, and with that came the butchering of a certain name.
Also was reported that the Celtics were talking to the Hawks before Cam Reddish went to the Knicks, right? Before he went to the Knicks, they were talking to the Celtics about a deal involving Marcus Smart for Cam Reddish and Kevin Huter. Huter? Huter? How do you pronounce his name?
Huter.
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 Huter, the redhead. The redheaded kid who shoots
Huter
threes.
The shooter.
Huter the shooter. Huter? So, Smart for Reddish and Huter. I'm curious what the Hawks are doing. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
They've been as disappointing as the Celtics this year.
No, I know. They've sucked, but I'm
talking about the Huter and Reddish.
I'm talking about Reddish and Huter.
Huter?
Yeah. So, no. You don't think Huter? And then now this is my new Janu Smith. Huter?
Huter.
Huter.
Think of it as pewter with an H.
Huter. Huter. Huter? Isn't he a better fit? He can shoot.
Yes.
And so.
On the offensive end, yes.
Yes. When all the attention comes on Brown and Tatum, he's an outlet that will actually make it. Isn't that a better fit for them?
Yes.
So this is my point. Maybe you should be thankful to get Huter the pewter. Huter? Maybe you're being greedy, Maz.
I probably am.
You're overrating.
I probably am. But does that bring you where you need to go?
So what? You just don't do anything? Okay, Reddish, I don't know about. I don't know about him. I know Huter the shooter.
I just said.
Huter? Huter. Huter? Huter?
Huter.
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 Huter, the redhead. The redheaded kid who shoots
Huter
threes.
The shooter.
Huter the shooter. Huter?
Huter.
Huter.
Think of it as pewter with an H.
Huter. Huter. Huter? This leads to the email of the day, please.
It's the Moncast email of the day.
Yeah. Dear Felga, I really hate you.
Yeah, let me tell you my idea.
And I think Maz is a boo.
Way to do it.
The Moncast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Email day is protected by Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast, M-I-M-E, M as in Michael, Mimecast.com. Holy crap, dude. It's pronounced Herder, not Huter. Inform the guy behind the glass, too, who doesn't know the NBA all that well.
Like a herder of sheep.
You guys are actually embarrassing about basketball. Jimmy, with all his great basketball sources, can't pronounce Kevin Herder. It's pronounced like Herter, and then he spells out H-U-R-T-E-R. There's clearly two R's in the name, and it takes such little effort following the game to know that. All of you yelling Huter the pewter for five straight minutes is just hard to listen to.
Not me. You'll notice I stayed out of this because I didn't think that was right. I wasn't confident with what it actually was.
Yeah. I'd like to be known as a sports entertainer.
Oh my God,
like a sheep herder.
So there's two bits Huter? We that have to
Huter.
Come. So
Huter?
Listen,
Huter?
Listen,
Huter.
Listen, you know the bit in there where we mispronounced Antonio Brown's name for
Antonio
Bryant, where we all got like sucked into this vortex of calling him Antonio Bryant. You've got to do the same thing with Huter, and then you've got to put together those calls in that overtime segment where everyone sounded exactly the same and started off the exact same way, which was what?
Yeah, my idea is...
Yeah.
I was thinking.
Yeah, my idea is, so listen, this is what you do. Every call is the same.
Yeah, so last night I was talking to some...
Those have to be done. All right, what's the next item, Jim?
We have...
Huter.
It's like the Jake Isles must have got lost. Huter the Buta, Reputa.
Huter.
We have a Mad Mike and a Squeaky Maz. What do you want to hear first?
Either.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Let's do Mad Mike here.
Thank you. Can I give you 30 seconds on Matt LaFleur? I meant to mention this earlier.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So Maz mentioned this because he went to a Packer game this year, and he said it at the time. And it's not something that you really notice unless you pay attention. But notice when the Packers are on defense and there's a third down and a big play. You see what this asshat's doing?
Oh, yeah, ramping up the crowd.
Cheerleading the crowd, trying to get him up.
Oh, yeah, he does it all the time.
Hey, asshat! How about coaching your team? Ever occur to you? How about coaching your team? It's maddening. Especially when you're playing Kyle Shanahan, which is basically your offense. So instead of you turning around and waving the pom-poms at your crowd, why don't you look, why don't you watch what's going on and get on the headset and maybe suggest something to your defense? Why don't you coach as opposed to whee! Like you're a cheerleader? Do you think anyone in Green Bay or Wisconsin ever mentions that?
No.
They're too busy, you know, whatever.
Hunting.
And, of course,
oh, Squeaky. Please, Mike. Give it to me.
Patriots fan, you're porked. You are freaking Pork City. Oh, you're living in Pork City. You are stuck there with pork rinds and pork sausage and pulled pork.
Squeal.
That's it. It is Pork City, man. Burrow's in his second year. Allen's in his fourth year. You are capital P, capital O, capital R, capital K, capital E, capital D. Pork. Oh, wow. Pork.
Wait a minute.
Pork.
Aren't those teams in trouble because they have to pay their quarterbacks too much money?
Apparently, yes. So I'm told.
No, I thought that was stupid.
Can't pay them that much because then you can't, you know, maneuver the cap.
You're pork.
And bring in more players. I mean, we've seen...
Pork City.
Clearly,
well, you can't surround it.
Pork rinds and right. Pork sausage and pulled pork.
It's clearly blowing up in Kansas City and Buffalo's face.
Patriots fan, capital P, capital O, capital R, capital K, capital E, capital B.
Seriously. All right. That's enough. Okay. Have you had enough yet? I think we're done. We've got Bruins tonight on RAR, Celtics on ROR, got conference championship games on Sunday. Plenty. Maybe the final chapter of Josh McDaniels in New England. Maybe becomes the Raiders head.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.